We've gone through the first four perikem of Kohelis, and really the first part of the fifth perik of Kohelis. It's been some amazing stuff. Now we have quite a bit to do, right, still going into the money issue, where Kohelis is going on about the money issue.
What's that perik?
Perik Hey, Pasuk Tesvav. Pasuk Tesvav. You got it? Yeah. Oh, next. So here we go. The Gamzo Ra Chilo. And here is a sickening evil, something that's just disgusting to me. Kol Umas Shabbat, any time that somebody comes, Keni Lech. He goes almost the same way. Well, what is he profiting if he's not gaining anything? It's sort of like he's giving it to the wind. He's not gaining from anything. It's sort of like when money comes in and money goes out and you're not gaining anything from it, just a little bit. All of his days in darkness, he eats and whatever it is. There's lots of anger, as well as illnesses and wrath. It's as if you're coming in and not gaining anything from your world. So to speak, like a child is coming in with a certain amount of knowledge and leaving with that amount of knowledge. Because all the travails and troubles that he goes through in this world, he forgets what his real purpose in this world is. And he comes out with nothing. He comes out with just the same amount of chachma that he had in the first place. As if he's sitting in a lit path where there's Torah everywhere and abilities to learn from everything, and he chooses not to get anything whatsoever. He might amass riches, he might have things, but you're not going to gain anything from that. And look at him, where do you get it? I had a big discussion with a kid the other day. He said he wanted to become a doctor. I asked him why, right? And he said, because I want to be the best out there. This is lying, not to save lives. Not because of whatever it is, I just want to be the best out there.
Assuming that being a doctor is the best.
The best out there.
And being the best doctor.
So I said, like, okay, buddy. We went into a whole discussion where I'm just like, is this all about you? Is there anything else? What are you going to do if you have a family and it interferes with your duties that you have as a doctor? What's going to happen then? How are you going to be able to? And just little things when it comes to something like that. If a person comes out, you imagine after 120, this guy goes up, he's got nothing. The Tosha Barofim Legehenim type of thing, right? What's going to be? What are you going to do with all this? I was just so sad that he was like, he's not thinking at all like what his purpose or what he wants. It's just sort of he comes and he goes. Hine asher e'isi ani tov. Behold, I've seen something that is good. Asher yafe le'echo yafe. That is very, very beautiful. Le'echo v'lishtos liros toiv v'chol amalo. Where he can eat and drink and see good in all of his toil. She'yamal tachos Hashemesh that he does under the sun. Misbay me'chayev. Then the number of days of his life. Asher nasal lo'kim ki'u chelko. Right? Where he goes ahead and he does what his portion is supposed to be. In other words, he uses what he's supposed to use in this world in order to do it in a proper fashion. He uses it for beauty, right? But not just that. He's willing to host people at his table. He's willing to bring people in. He's able to use it for actual things in this world with all of his amelus that he puts underneath the sun. All that he has of his life, he's willing to work hard. Gam kol adam asher nesal alokim oishu nechasim. Any person that a Kodesh Baruch Hu gives him riches and property, vishlito le'echol mimenu and allow him, gives him the power to be able to eat from him, and to carry his portion, and to be happy about all of his toil. That is a tremendous gift. To take from your own stuff, not to have to rely on other people. To be able to work hard and to be able to utilize what you've been able to do in this world, that is a tremendous rich. And it's a double rich. In other words, not only are you wealthy, but you're wealthy in your spirit as well. You feel like you're actually getting something. You're not going to remember many of the days of your life. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows him to have, provides him with tremendous joy in his heart, in all the way in his heart. And that's, I guess you could say, the Mida Kenega Mida. It's not like you're living for today. You're living for tomorrow. You're living for as much things out there. And don't be obsessed with where you are and what you have and everything about you. You're really trying to get to the level of simcha, where you have simcha slibo. You have an actual simcha that you have in this world, something that you can get to. That's the purpose of riches, to make you feel a little bit better. The Rabbeinu Tam used to have a bag of coins. I don't know if it's a bag, a whole thing of coins, gold coins, sitting by his desk. He was a very wealthy man. Unlike his brother, the Rashbam, who was extremely poor, the Rabbeinu Tam was very wealthy. And he used to, while he was learning, put his hand inside the gold pieces, almost like Scrooge McDuck, right? And, dipping inside, going swimming. But he used to put his hand inside, and he said that it would help him think. When he felt settled, that his riches were allowing him to learn a little bit more, he felt like that helped him concentrate because he didn't have anything to worry about. He was just sitting there. And I know some people, the richer they become, the more worried they become, the more worried they are because of all the things. That's straight out the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos. It's pretty obvious that way. But the Rabbeinu Tam had, for himself, it was enough that he felt he was able to learn and do whatever he wanted to do. And that's why he put it on the table. He felt better every time he put it inside. That's the purpose of riches, to make us feel settled as long as we don't try to keep going further and further. Now, Perek Vav, Yeshua Shere Yitzidach Hashemesh, there's another evil I've seen under the sun. V'rabba Yael Adam, I see it many times over people. Yishar Yitzin Lo Elokim Osher V'nechosim Mechavah V'einenu Chosel Anashem Yikol Asher Yisaveh. A person who HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him riches and property and kavod and honor, he's not missing for himself anything that which he could desire. V'lashu Tenu Elokim La'achol Mimenu. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not allow him to eat anything from it. Ki yesh nachri ochlenu. Instead, somebody else comes and takes it. Zehevo v'choli rahu. That is garbage, and that is absolute a sickening evil that I've seen in this world. It's not like this. No animal does this. An animal normally does not gather things for someone else. Obviously, there are exceptions to that rule when it gathers for its kids, whatever it is, but seemingly an animal is only gathering for itself for when it needs it for later on. But even then, how much does an animal... It's doing it for right now. It's not saving for the future when it's retired and doesn't have the ability to go out. Human beings save and save and save and save, and then, chas v'shalom, don't live to see their savings being used. They don't get to use it. They don't even see it. Maybe it's taken away from even their children. They're not able to have anything whatsoever. He dies in the prime of his life, and it's not there. That's a sickening thing that he never got to use. And Yolid Ish Mea Vishanim Rabos. If a person has 100 children, and he lives many years, V'Rav Shiyu Yemei Shana, right? And the days of his years become very great. V'Nafsho Lo Sispa Min HaToyva, and he doesn't feel satisfied with the good that he has. V'Gam Kvura Lo Hayisalo. And sometimes these people are not even given a proper burial. Sometimes they're not even buried properly. They die in a way in which they cannot be buried. Amarti tov mimeno anafo. I said it's better for him to have never been born at all. He should have been a miscarriage in his mother. Chas v'shalom. That's what I say about a person. You can imagine a guy who's extremely wealthy and then dies in the heart of his life while he's still young and whatever it is, right, in the middle of a boating accident, right, and something like that, where he never gets to be buried. Instead, he's eaten by the fish of the sea.
But why is that worse than a poor person dying in the prime of his life?
I guess, same thing. He's saying that is bad because this guy has the ability to do so many good things with his riches and to have so many great things, and instead, he's lost. He gets nothing
so
from
maybe
it.
The riches is... riches could also mean not necessarily physical riches, but also potential.
Emotional, spiritual.
Potential.
Yeah, the idea. Ki b'hevel ba, he comes in nothingness, uv'choshech yelech, and he goes out with darkness. V'choshech shmo yichuseh, and he is completely covered. His name is covered up in that darkness. Gam shemesh lo ra, he does not see the sun, v'lo yoda, nachas lezeh, he knows nothing good about it. Mizeh, he's got nothing whatsoever. So, there's nothing good for this guy over here. There's an unbelievable line over here, a mushel. Two men were traveling by ship when it docked along the way. One of them went into the country where he saw all these great things, peaceful landscapes, food and drink, etc. And he told people what he had seen, but he didn't take anything of it. He didn't use it. He didn't eat of the drinks and food and whatever it is. So his friend looked at him and said, you know what? I'm happy that I didn't go and see it. I feel worse for you that you saw it and you couldn't eat or drink anything or use anything from it. It's better to have been around and to use it than to have seen it and not use it whatsoever. Yilochaya Elefshan. Pa'amayim. If he would live 1,000 years twice over, v'tova lo ra, he still has not seen the good. Halo amakom echad kol eich. Then at the end of the day, aren't we all going to the same place? If we're all going that way, maybe it's different if a person is learning Torah and earns the world to come. But if it's all about this world and he messes up and he doesn't get what he wants out of this world, then what's the point? I think Rabbi Cohn's line constantly in Shul is always like, what are you living for? You're living to live on a golf course, right? Is that what it's living for? And then you die before you get to the golf course. Then what? Then what did you live for? Your whole purpose in life was never achieved because you never got to the point where you're supposed to get to. The concept, the idea behind it.
Ka'omo adam lefi. Using the same adage as live every day as if it's your last, but in a spiritual sense.
Mm-hmm. In a more spiritual sense, yes. Kol amala adam lefiyu. All the labor that a person has is for his own mouth. The gama nefesh lotimala. Yet, still, his soul is never going to be filled. He doesn't get filled just by that. Because think about it. Let's say he goes ahead and he uses everything toward food. He's like, you know what? I'm going to live my life going to the best restaurants, and I'm going to make sure that I always have the best food. I'm going to go to every single place that I can. Like Prime, what's that place in New York?
Prime Grill. Yeah,
Prime Grill. And I'll go to Fuego in Miami. I'll go in, you know, to the Carmel Factory in L.A. And I'm going to keep going. And Shallots, of course, right here. And what?
Mike's Bistro.
Oh, okay, so he goes from place to place to place. The fact is that you're just going to be hungry again. And none of it is nourishing your spirit. None of it is getting you to the place that you really want to get to. It's getting you a straight stomach, a great stomach over there. But that's not over there. That's the idea behind it. The daughter of a king married a commoner who gave her everything that he could afford. But it didn't make any difference because she's still a princess. And she still wasn't getting what she really wanted. It's that's the idea behind the soul of a person. The soul needs more, but it's not getting what it really wants. It's not around. One of the things that allows the mouth to be filled, so to speak, says the Miam Loez, is to teach others, to get around and start talking to others about what you've learned and give it over to other people. That's a way of improving and getting up there. What advantage is there for a wise man from a fool? Malani Yodea Lahaloch Neged Achaim. What's the poor man, right, who knows what's going on, go up against life? Tov Marei Naim Ahaloch Nefesh. It's better what the eyes can see than what the soul can reach. Gamze Havol Rosuach. But I'll tell you, this is absolute garbage as well. The person who just sits there and says, I want to, and never ends up doing what he's supposed to do. Mashahaya Kvar Nikra. Whatever came into being was already called Nikra Shmo. It already has its name. Minoda Shiru Adam. And it's known that this is what man is. There's no way to argue with something that is stronger than he. So this is the idea behind it. In order to curb anyone's arrogance, their ego in this world, they have to be able to know their limits, know where they are, and know what they can do and know what they can't do. And at certain times, yeah, you might be the best at X or Y or Z, right? But there are certain things that you're not, and you have to admit, there are certain things that I'm not going to be able to do. To be able to accept certain things with love and the fact that you might not understand the whole plan. And that even if these things happen, you sit there and you're like, wait, I don't understand. That shouldn't have happened because everything should be against the other way around. Lo yuchal adinim shetakim menu. You cannot fight the one who's stronger than you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a plan for you. And you may wish that you have a better idea or you think something different. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not, I can't. That's not. You're not all the way through. You don't understand everything here. There's nothing I can do about that. Ki yesh dvarim harbe marvim hevel mayosa la'adam. Since there are so many things that increase hevel by a person, of what advantage is it for man itself? Who knows what's actually good for a person in this world? During the days of his life, he's going to make it almost like a shadow. Who's going to tell a person what's going to be with them afterward, underneath the sun? Who knows what's going to be over here? And I'll tell you, I had a situation not too long ago where there was a house for sale that I was sitting there and I was looking at, and I was like, this is perfect for me. It's got absolutely everything I want. And I sat there and I dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I have a very specific tefillah when I say certain things. I say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if this is good for me, then please let it go quickly. Allow this is what it's supposed to be, right? Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, allow it to go quickly. I don't like being in this stage where it's like in flux and something like that. Make it go quickly and allow it to be in the best way possible. So I kept davening it, and it kept not happening. The people kept pushing me off. Right? And I was just like, oh my gosh, what's going on here? And I couldn't understand it. I was like, maybe it's not the best thing for me. Turns out at the end, they agreed to it. Everything was all good. The house was agreed to. We're all happy and whatever it is. And we decided to do an inspection. And guess what happened in the inspection?
Correct foundation.
Massive problems. Massive, worse than that, unfortunately. But like tens of thousands of dollars of issues. Tens of thousands. So I went back to them and I said, will you be willing to come down? And they said, no. And I realized this is not the place for me. This is not what's supposed to be. But it's one of those things where you go for that.
If it's not for you, it should go quickly and tell you that it's not for you.
That's a good call. I didn't do that. I should have gone the Tanai. Maybe it would have been quicker. It didn't go the way I planned. But that's the way that everybody should daven. If you see something that you absolutely want, don't daven, Hashem, let me have it. Because maybe that's not the best thing for you. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if this is the best thing for me, then let me have it. And if it's not, not. I'm going to have to understand in some way, shape, or form, but sometimes it's not the best thing for me, and I have to admit to that. That's the concept
like
of
the Misha Berach,
correct. Allow it to be Mishal Libi, right? But Latova, I want it to be in a good way. All right, look what it says in Parag Zayin. Tov Shem Misha Mentov. It's better to have a good name than the greatest oil, the most precious oil. The Omamas Miyomo Valdil. I'd rather have the day of death than the day of birth. Now, the test over here, if you'll notice, should be big. Do you have it in there?
Yeah,
they all have it in there. So the reason why it's supposed to be big is because we're emphasizing the ultimate good that there is in a good name than anything else in this world. That what a person needs more than anything else is that everybody else acknowledges that this person is good. And he just doesn't think about it by himself. But that's the idea behind it. So that's that. There is a line that's used over here. One chacham was once asked, how did you come by your supreme wisdom? How are you so wise? And he said, I spent more on my oil, the lamp oil, than I did on my wine, on the food and drink that I sent onto my table. So I learned and learned and learned, so therefore I was able to do more. And that's Tov Shemi Shemen Tov. Shemen Tov, it comes from Shemen Tov, so to speak.
So now, what does it mean to have a good name? Have a good name amongst people? have a good, because then, but what does it matter what other people think of you? Matters what Hashem thinks of you.
So the ultimate is, that's 100% correct, because at the end of the day, nothing matters. But we do have the line that if you're Noach Lebrios, then you're Noach Leshamayim as well. So that's, I think, the line over here. To be good, not just in the eyes of people, but also in the eyes of Hashem. But shame, Tov Shem, is to have that name where everybody knows you as being a good guy. I don't need you to be famous. I don't need you to be the president. I don't need you to be whatever. Yeah, but just a good guy, which means that you're a good guy in Shemayim as well. That's what you really want over here.
Right,
I don't think
somebody could look at somebody being a good guy who's really a rotten guy, but, you know.
I think it goes hand in hand. Now, you're right. We can't limit ourselves to a guy who just has a good name, but he's actually a faker, and nobody actually likes him. It'd have to be something stronger than that. The Tov Shem really is, he's got a real name, and he deserves the name, and people like him because he actually is a good guy. It's got to be something like that, because you're right, it would seem weird in any other way. That is that. Now, when it comes to, it's better to have, better the day of death than the day of life, so the reason why is because when a person dies, he realizes what he did, and of course he could do a lot better, right? And people usually look back and like, oh, if I would have done it all over again, if you would have done it all over again, you might have messed up a lot worse. That's the possibility over here. So what is it? It's like two ships. One is coming in, and everybody's cheering. They came in, and the other one is going out, right? And the one that's going out, they're saying, bye, and they're whatever it is, right? So the guy looks at the ship that goes through. They said, they don't know what's going to happen with them. They might not make it. They might not. Who knows what's going to be? There might be gales that take them off their trip. They might not be able to go to where they want to go, and whatever it is. This ship that came in is the ultimate because it got what it needed to get. It received everything that it was supposed to get. So on the day of death, granted, could you have done better? Of course you could have done better. But at the end of the day, you lived your life, you got everything done, you're not going to mess it up any further. You're not going to go any worse.
You can also do tshuva on the day of death.
100%. I think that's also, it's like stronger. The day of life, you feel like, oh, I have potential, I can wait for anything. I can do, you know, I have years and years and years. The day of death, it's over. It's
why,
over.
Why
you feel
do,
like
why
it's
Why are we taking a pessimistic view? Because you could look exactly the opposite. Somebody who's born could do a lot of mitzvahs. Oh. A person who's dying can't do any mitzvahs.
So Kohelis has been using this pessimistic view the whole time, and I think it's because of his experiences in life, where, yes, things were awesome for him. He's talking, this is Shlomo Melech speaking and saying, look how awesome my life was and how everything I had. But I'm realizing now, it's nothing. I literally got nothing out of it. I've been concentrating on the wrong things, and I should have been concentrating on other things. So many people do that. So Kohelis is looking at it and saying, he's not talking about the person who is the potential and is using his potential and is perfect in everything he does. He's looking at the person who is wasting and squandering all of his time. He's saying, I'd rather be someone who's dead and not able to squander his time anymore, already trying to improve, doing tshuva over everything he's done, rather than the person who has the potential, but won't ultimately use it. But I think that's the way. And he's done this throughout, where he's looked at it with a pessimistic view, probably from his viewpoint at the end of his life. Tov lechaz al beis avel melechaz al beis mishta. It's better to go to a house of avelus than to go to a beis mishta. Beis mishta, person can get drunk, he could do sins. Beis avelus, what are you going to do? No. Now, nowadays, people can say the dumbest things. That's 100% true. The absolute dumbest. But regardless, it's still better to go because it makes you more serious. It makes you remember what your purpose is in life. You don't get drunk in a house of avails. You can get drunk at a base mishta.
Well, you get perspective from...
Correct. That's the idea. It's more sober. It's more sobering going to the base avel. Bashiru sovko adam, because you see, this is the end of all man. V'chayitin olivo, and a living person will always take it to heart. That's the idea behind it. So if you have a choice, I don't know if this is how we pass it halachically. I'm not so sure there is a halacha about this. You have a choice between going to a wedding or a funeral, right? Between the two, you should choose the funeral over the wedding. I don't know if that's an actual halacha or that's what people do or whatever it is.
It would be a question of, is it a bigger mitzvah to be at a simcha or to be Menachem Avil?
I don't know if maybe something like that. You have a wedding in Detroit. Let's give this case. We can't do it in the same day. You have a wedding in Detroit, right? And you have to be Menachem Avil in Milwaukee. You can choose one of the two. You cannot do both.
But
it's
Menachem
one of the two.
Avil have a week.
So let's say it's the last day you just found out about it. Right, you have one choice. You can go either way. Which direction do you go? I don't know. So maybe Shlomo Melech is saying it's better to go the Avil. That's what it seems over here. It seems interesting how you would... I don't know. I don't know which one is the better one. Of course, nowadays, I know it's impossible because you could call the Avil, right? When I call the Avil and just be like, oh, I took care of that, and then I'll go to the wedding. What's the difference?
I don't know. It might also make a difference of, you know, relative versus, you know, different.
Somebody else. There's so many factors involved over here. Yes, I don't know if there's an actual psak for something like this. Tov kas mischoik. Better to have anger at oneself than gaiety and, you know, just sitting there and laughing at yourself. Ki baro panim yitav lev. Because through a hard face, yitav lev, you can actually gladden your spirit. You can make yourself a little bit happier. You can really think to yourself. A person has the ability to discipline himself if he goes through that anger and understands what it's there for.
Aristotle translates kas as grief, but kas is anger.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. It probably is through one of the Rishonim. Depends also on what the Targum says. None of us have the Targum on us right now. We'd have to see what the Targum says in this pasuk. Lev chacham beisavol. The heart of the wise is in the house of Avelis. Lev still in base mishteh, but the heart of the fools are sitting in the base mishteh. They're the ones, because again, fools are the ones who are not thinking about the future. They're just thinking about the now. What do I want right now?
Wait,
well, the house of Avelis is thinking about the future. I'm sorry. Yeah, lev still in the base mishteh.
I have simcha.
Oh, I'm just saying simcha. You're right, it is simcha. I'm just reading the word wrong. The base simcha, right? In the house of simcha. But it's still the same thing. The last pasuk was mishta, wasn't it? Yeah. Okay. Tov lishmo agaras chacham yisho me'ashir k'silim. It's better to hear the muster of a chacham than a guy who's singing the songs of fools. Now, I don't know if this is an exact, I don't know, whatever. But, like, it's better to hear a muster shmooze than to hear a song on the radio. Right? To hear something like that. Because the song on the radio, maybe I don't know. Maybe there are people like this. There are definitely people who are, they hear music and it improves their spirit and whatever it is. Maybe he's saying that it's not lasting.
Well,
it's something that's there for the time.
Well, also that's Shirk Ceiling. I mean, Shirk Ceiling just is a foolish song. Doesn't really mean there are songs that are...
Like Weird Al Yankovic? Is that what we're talking about?
Probably.
Or something like that?
Probably. But there are songs and unfortunately in the Jewish world, nobody writes songs anymore, which is, I don't understand why, but...
Got elbows.
What?
Got elbows.
He writes songs.
Oh, Shlucky.
Writes
oh,
songs.
Oh, no, Baruch Levin. Baruch Levin writes songs. Yeah,
like
Baruch
lyrics. Levin. He doesn't like
yeah, he actually writes lyrics. Singing. Yeah, Shlucky doesn't write his. But Baruch Levin is very amazing. Yeah,
A.B. Rottenberg, maybe.
A.B. Rottenberg is a good call. Yeah, A.B. Rottenberg.
But
you find it very rare. Very rare.
There are a lot of nice songs that you can get out. You can gain something from
very
it
good.
Because there's meaning behind
very
it.
Very good. Very good. As opposed to a sheer ksil, which is just a foolish whatever it is, you know, just like, what's that, a yo-ya, you know, that old song?
Yeah.
Like something like that, where there's nothing for it. Maybe at the time you get something, but you get absolutely nothing.
But it also
on the other hand,
Moser Shmooze. I think there's Moser Shmoozes that are worse than a sheer ksil.
It's
true.
Moser Shmooze from a good schmoozer, right? That would have to be the idea behind it. Yeah, he gives a mush over here of what happened in the Gemara Talmud with Alexander the Great going behind the mountains of darkness and seeing the woman of Amazon. Oh, it's Mamish Shaykh right now with the movies. Amazonian woman. Isn't that Wonder Woman? I'm pretty sure she was. I know I haven't seen the movie yet, so
I
haven't.
Planning on it?
Yeah, I was planning on it. I'm pretty sure it's a Jewish movie.
It is.
Right. It's 100%. But Alexander the Great went up there, and the woman said to him, if you wage war against us and you win, then they're just going to say you beat a bunch of women. But if you wage war against us and you lose, then you're going to say, everyone's going to say that you were beaten by women. So what's the point in fighting us? So he said, that was a good piece. He said, I was a fool, Alexander the Great wrote on the gate of the city, until I came here and I learned Eitzel from these women. I understood what I had to do. It's not always good to fight. Sometimes it's good not to fight.
But nowadays
that was the line.
They'd be like, what, you want to fight us for women? Come on, you have to.
That would be the line. Pasuk Vav, ki kekol asirim, like the noise of thorns, takas asir, underneath the pot, kein tzchok haksil. That's what it sounds like, the laughter of the fool. The gamza avlan, it's garbage. I don't know what that means exactly. I assume it's like the equivalent would be scratching nails on top of a chalkboard. Like, that's what it sounds like. The laughter of these fools feels like, ugh, like you just want to, I can't believe what's wrong with you, just stop it. Because oppression and bad things turn a chacham, a wise man, right, sometimes to do folly. The abed is lev matana, and it makes you destroy the gift of the heart itself. Sometimes, you know, especially Moshe Rabbeinu had his issues only when he could not understand why tzadik v'ralo and rasha v'tovlo. Could not understand that sometimes people lose their ability to think things through and are not able to fully understand why it's going to be over here. Okay, now we're going to go into something a little bit different, okay? We're going to get into an involvement in business and fighting with fools themselves as well as bribes themselves. It could be that some of these psukim, I can refer to this, especially this pasuk itself, the line over here of Oshek is getting involved in business. Yeholo chacham. A chacham could become a fool if he gets into business without the proper training, without the proper abilities to understand what he's doing. So too, Oshek could be referring to arguing with people. The point of just arguing for the sake of argument doesn't get you anywhere, and that's not going to be a point. That's your whole chacham. A chacham turns into a fool when he just uses arguments in such a way. And the third one is a bribe. He loses his lave when he takes a matana, when he takes a gift. He can't think straight at that point. Tov acharis davar mereishiso, better is the end of something from the beginning. Tov erech ruach, migvoa ruach. It's better to be patient than it is to have a haughty spirit over here. Now, I know everybody remembers the Gemara with Hillel and Shammai when the Gerim came up to him and said, teach me the Torah on one foot, teach me the Torah, right? Teach me the Torah on one foot. Teach me, I want to become the Kohen Gadol was the second guy, and who was the third guy over there? The guy that said, I only want to learn Torah Shebichsav, but not Torah Shebal Peh? I think that was it. Only Torah Shebichsav, but not Torah Shebal Peh. Tom Alaviz Gimel Tau, whatever it is. Right? So Shammai kept kicking that guy, those guys out, and Hillel kept accepting it. Apparently there's another medrash, this is not in the Gemara, where a Persian guy came before Rav and said, teach me the Torah. He said, say Aleph, said Rav. And the Persian said back to him, he said, who told you that's an Aleph? Right? Maybe it's not. So he said, say bays. He said, who says that's a bays? Maybe that's not a bays. So Rav eventually kicked him out. He went to Shmuel. Shmuel said, who said that's an aleph? Who said it's a bays? So Shmuel took hold of the man's ear, right, and pulled it, right? And the guy started screaming. He's like, my ear, my ear. He's like, who told you that's your ear? Who said that's your ear itself? So he said, everybody knows it's my ear. Everybody just knows. That's what it is. So Shmuel said, everyone knows this is an aleph and a bays. Right? You just have to be, you have to understand there's certain things that you don't know and you have to accept it, and eventually maybe you'll be able to learn a little bit more and you'll be able to figure out a little bit more chachma from that. But you got to start off with something and go through. That's the line that he says over here. Sometimes, gvalev, this line over here of a person who's migvaruach, that would be a reference to a first-year guy in Israel, where after a couple months of being there, all of a sudden you are the greatest Talmud Chacham that has ever graced the planet.
I think you're thinking about the Shtark Shana Bet guy. It was like his first week Shana Bet.
I am not denying the Shtark Shana Bet guy. I'm just saying that a Shana Aleph guy who's only been there for a couple months and all of a sudden he's like, I know everything! Like that guy. I'm not going to mention certain yeshivas over any others, but those are the guys we're looking at.
Yeah, they call home and they get, that's when they ask for Shana Bet.
Right. They go home and they're like, everything you're doing is wrong. It's like, that's a little bit different when it comes to that. Pasuk says, "Don't hurry yourself to be angry."
On the last one, it says, "The end of something is better than the beginning." Mm-hmm. What is that? Usually, you're more excited at the beginning. At the end, you're sad. It's over.
But I think it's the same thing as death and life. Meaning, at the end, you start realizing what you were able to gain from it and everything. In the beginning, again, there's unused potential that goes to waste. And I think that's what he's referring to over here. I think it's the same thing. He doesn't talk about it over here, but I think that's the reason why, right, than what happens over here. Do not quicken your spirit by getting angry. Because anger, that sits in the lap of fools. You can't think straight when you're angry. The Gemara says there's three ways to know a person, right? Bikoso, bikiso, bikaso. See what he's like when he's drunk. See what he's like when it comes to his money. See what it's like when it comes to his anger. That's what the seminary girls do, right? They do something stupid. Like, I just wanted to see what you were like when you got angry. Just answer back, but like, the state's over. that's pretty much, that's how I feel after everything is done. We see, and unfortunately, it's the one thing that we see. Even better. But it's the one thing that we see was an issue with Moshe Rabbeinu. The one thing where he got angry four times, it seems, in Tanakh, and he forgot something from it. The worst of which, we know, is when he hit the rock instead of speaking to the rock. We know how bad that was. But that's the idea. Al-Tomer Mahaya. Don't say, how was it? Sha'yam Rishonam Yitov Me'ila. The original days, former days, were better than these. No, that's silly. You're not saying that out of wisdom. Maybe you'll say to yourself, oh, if only I lived during the times of the Chavetz Chaim. If only I lived during the times of the Rambam. If only I lived during the times, everything would have been better then. It's not true. You are given the leaders of your time that are good for you. And you can, at all times, you don't think there were people that argued on the Chavetz Chaim during the times of the Chavetz Chaim or argued on Ramosha Feinstein in the times of Ramosha Feinstein? Yeah, it would be awesome to have Ramosha Feinstein around, but that just means that other people are going to be around that are equal to Moshe Rabbeinu and Tuma. There are other people that have that ability to, you know, to argue whenever.
What's the point? I mean, why would things be better if you lived in a different time?
You think like, oh man, we don't have any leaders now. If only, you know, we were living in the times of Ramosha. Ramosha was like a great leader. or the Chafetz Chaim, that was a pure leader. The Chazon Ish, that was a pure leader.
As
opposed to now, when I don't have that leader of that caliber. And we say, look, you're not asking well. No, it's not that way. The leaders are according to the time, and everybody improves with other things. It's not like that. That's not the way it goes. You're not saying this out of wisdom. That's a lo mechach mashal.
Or you could look at the fact that nowadays you have air conditioning.
No, that's not a question. We're not talking about the amenities that you might have. He's saying specifically regarding chachamim. The line that this is used in the Gemara, I believe it's in Rosh Hashanah, although we don't have that thing over there. I think in Rosh Hashanah it says that you might ask about the zakenim all the way in the back table. But by the zakenim, right, you might say to yourself, like, oh, if only I lived during those times of the zakenim. For that reason, the zakenim's names are not mentioned in the Gemara, because we don't want you to say such a thing. Like, oh, what if I was during the times of X and Y and Z? We don't have them. There was zakenim. So these zakenim that live nowadays may be equal to those zakenim back then. They're unnamed, so to speak.
Yeah, but what about the fact that you want to yearn for, like, the times of yore? Like you want to look back and you want to, like, get comfort by, like, thinking about how much better it was or how much better it could have been.
Okay, I hear you. If that improves, if you're inspired by such a thing, then great. Use it to help you get inspired and to go for somewhere else. But if it's all it's doing is vexing your spirit, and you're sitting there saying, oh man, this life stinks because of whatever it is, then it does nothing for you. There's no point to it. What are you gaining from such a thing? So don't do such a thing. Tova chachmim nachla. You know what's good? Wisdom with an inheritance. Make a little bit of money from an inheritance. The reason why inheritance is better is because there's no need to waste precious time in order to go get it. You just get it automatically. Unfortunately, most people squander their inheritances. Most people don't even understand what their inheritance gets them. But chachma with an inheritance is good. Yosef L'Roi Shemesh, even better for those who see the sun. Those people are able to see the greatness of this world and what they can do with it, and they use it in the proper way. Because in the shelter of wisdom, that's if you're in the shelter of money. You can only truly gain wisdom when, again, we said this before, when you have the money to back you up. If you're able to learn without you know, feeling pressured, it makes everything better. And the advantage of understanding wisdom, right, allows a person, the owner of it, the person who's there, to become greater and greater and greater. Adding on to the Dasa Chochmah is even better. That's something that's even better for everybody else. So obviously there's some great things. There's a great mushel over here. It's a mushel. It's not a real, whatever, medrash, in which three guys went to Shlomo Melech and he told them, we want to learn from Shlomo Melech, and Shlomo Melech giving them each tasks of what they were supposed to do. It's a crazy story. It's literally like 300 pages, so I'm not going to do it right now. It just takes too long, but it's a great story. Look at what God has done. Who in the world can straighten what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, has twisted? There's no way to be able to turn it around by ourselves. We have to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and bring it back. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that powerful, understand that if he is the one who's able to turn it around, he's also the one to twist it, he's also the one to turn it back. He's the one to be able to make everything a little bit better.
But we also have inventions that we have taken things that have been created and we've made new things.
Yeah, that for sure. That's a good call. It doesn't mean that we have no ability to make the bad into good. We definitely do. With Siyata Deshmaya, we'll call it, right? But meaning, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants something to be twisted, you cannot turn it back on your own. Who's able to do that? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu purposely makes it a certain way and wants it that way, nothing we can do to turn it around.
He wants it to stay that way, but I mean, there are conditions, physical conditions nowadays that once were permanent, and now we have.
So you're saying, like, on a day like today where it's really hot or something like that, we have the ability to sit in air conditioning and be able to be comfortable.
Yeah, but not even that. You know, it's an artificial environment. If somebody has a broken arm, we have surgery and repair the arm, and then they can get
very good. But that doesn't take away from the fact that that guy will now have 6 weeks, whatever it is, in a cast, and he's not able to do what he can do.
Right, but he's supposed to his entire life, though.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. But meaning, there's still something that we cannot fix. It's not an immediate fix.
Well, you could also say that he might not have 100% capabilities after the injury. Even if you correct it, you're still never going to, you might not
right, but
get
it's,
back
it's,
to
he's
100%.
Getting, let's say, 90%. He would have had zero if they didn't have.
But the, point,
right,
is, but the point is that there's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants something, even if it's only 10% of the misuse of his arm, that'll happen. There's nothing we can do. So we can fix 90%. We might be able to do 99.9%, but we can't do everything. And one of those things I'm saying is like those 6 weeks of discomfort where the guy is sitting there with a cast. I remember when I broke my hand once because I punched a wall after playing basketball. Not a smart thing to do. Very, very dumb. Right? Sat there. I had that cast on my left hand for 6 weeks. I couldn't write anything down. Now, in the end, it was a bracha because it got me to understand what it means to type. I've never typed before, and all my notebooks became, you know, part of my computer, and I was able to start writing things down, and that's it literally changed everything about me. I was able to put things down in a different way. No, I don't want to. I've gotten this already. I don't know what else could happen. And if a Kaddish Baruch Hu wants
you
to...
You don't know until you try.
You know what? You're right. You're 100% right. But at the end of the day, that was there. I think that's what it means. Those 6 weeks were probably six of the most painful weeks of my life, where I had to teach myself to write with my writing. I didn't realize how... what's the word? How dependent I was on writing.
I just couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And I had to... You know how much weight you lose by eating with your left hand for like 3 weeks? I mean, I had no appetite. I was in pain, but...
I just lapped it up. That was all I did. I didn't have much of a choice. It was unbelievable. I'm a lefty. I'm using my right hand. I had to teach myself how to write. I can still write with my right hand. But I didn't realize, you should see my notes. It's so amazing. I look back at my notes. I see my notes from
you
those
wrote
years.
Notes?
I wrote
notes?
All my notes
with like
my right hand.
I could write my name and
you
that
can see
was
it.
Done.
You can see like what my notes look like. They're completely I have one handwriting, and then for like 6 weeks straight, my handwriting is horrible. But that's when I learned how to type. It's good. B'yom tova, hayeh b'tov. On a good day, be with the good. B'yom ra, re'eh gamazel u'mazel asol lukim. Re'eh. You should reflect on what you have. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has made good and evil for a reason. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, has done it in such a way that you don't think anything bad about him. You should remember about all the different things out there and how HaKadosh Baruch Hu has let it run. And therefore, again, on good days, reflect. And on bad days, you should also reflect. As a kol re'izi b'mehavli, I've seen everything during the days of my futility. Yesh tzadikim b'tzidko, I've seen tzadikim be lost in their tzidkus. Yesh rasha marach barasa. And unfortunately, I've seen wicked men that endured, that have lived a long time, they're evil. I've seen everything. So therefore, I cannot judge and I cannot say which one is better when it comes to this or that and the other. And again, this goes back to Moshe Rabbeinu's problem that we mentioned before. Tzadik v'ralo, rasha v'tovlo. All these different issues and what happens to a person. I've seen everything happen. I understand that there are certain things that are going to happen and certain things that are not. I'll teach tzadik harbe, but I will tell you the following. Don't make yourself into too big of a tzadik. Thou tischakim yoser. I don't want you to become too wise, so to speak. Wiser than you think. Lamit yishomem. Why you should be left by yourself. Too many times people will go ahead and do crazy things. For example, the example that's given for over here, I'll teach tzadik harbe, is by Korach. Korach went ahead and said, if I'm going to have a blue tcheles beged, what's the purpose of the blue strings? Said HaKadosh Baruch Hu back to Korach, I'll teach out of carpet. Don't try to overthink things. Don't try to go too crazy. Because you go a little bit too far and you took yourself too far.
Maybe it's also saying, like, don't do Baal Tosif.
Yeah, exactly that. Don't go too far when it comes to this. There is no reason for you to go so crazy, they become like this unbelievable tzaddik that no one can relate to. If you're getting to that point, then something's wrong. Again, Moshe Rabbeinu is the exception to the rule. He is the only person to practice celibacy, and that was after he had already been married and had kids, but nonetheless, he's the only person that's like that. We don't want people to be that way. Ben Azai was a bad thing. We say that Ben Azai was a bad thing.
The Essenes.
That's not the way that we want to do. What?
The Essenes.
What's the Essenes?
They were the ones who wrote the Dead Sea Scrolls.
Oh, that's right. And they were the ones who lived by themselves like monks almost.
Well, they only lasted like one generation for a reason.
Yeah, well, obviously. Don't get married. That's going to happen. Altir Sharbe, and don't be too evil. Don't be a fool. Why should you die before your time? When you act with such idiocy, well, what's going to happen to you? What's the purpose of everything you're trying to do? It's better that you take hold of one as well as the other. Don't hold back. Don't pull yourself away from the other. Because a person who fears God knows how to use the good in the world and the bad in the world to the fullest extent. When to be a tzaddik and when to be a rasha. You know what? Sometimes you cannot be kind to people who do not deserve kindness. Sometimes it's better for that person and for you not to give mercy to that person. That's what the Gemara says. You can't have rachamim on somebody without das. That's not rachamim for that person. You're not teaching him anything. You're not allowing him to get anything good. You're just, what's the word? You're allowing him to be that way. I forgot the word. You are giving him what he needs, whatever it is. Hachachma to oz lechacham. Wisdom is a stronghold for a chacham. Me'asar shalitim asher yibir. More than 10 rulers in a city itself. You can fortify with proper wisdom more than 10 generals can, trying to come from the outside. You'll be able to do such a thing. Ki adam in tzadav arasa shayasav le'yachta, because there is no one who is so righteous in this earth, who only does good and does not sin. So you have to accept what you've done and to be able to go forth from that. And if you can't, then it's going to be impossible to be able to go through. So many times we've seen Adamin Sadabar Zushi Asadov Leyechta. Rabbi Eliezer asked Rabbi Kiva, laughed when Rabbi Eliezer was getting sick. Rabbi Eliezer looked at him and said, "What are you laughing at me for?" So he said, "Because now I see that you're being punished for the things that you've done in this world. I thought you were going to be punished in Olam Haba because everything always happened good to you. Now I see that you're going to be punished." To which he said, "What, are you saying that I sinned?" He said, "Rabbi, you taught me, Adamin Sadabar Zushi Asadov Leyechta. Everybody sins." Rabbi Eliezer said, "Akiva nechamtani, akiva nechamtani." He understood that's the purpose. Gam achol dvarim shedav beru, anything that is spoken about otitin libecha, don't worry about it. Asher lo sish mas avdecha mekalalecha. That way, you're not going to hear your servant curse you. There's so many times where it's probably not worth it for you to listen to certain conversations. You know what they're going to say. So why bother being there? If they're going to say something bad about you, don't worry about it. Who cares? I have made a decision, right? I don't know if I want to go to the high school perm spiel next year. If I'm going to be made fun of. Because why should I bother? Right? If I'm going to feel bad about it, then what's the purpose? I might as well not go. When they tell me later, "Oh, they'd be funny." Okay. That's it.
Why don't you get a sense of humor, maybe, and then you can go.
See, I'm usually okay. Because the base matters makes fun of me all the time. So you'd think, like, in the Pernish Field. So the Pernish Field's all on me. Right? It's right there. They made fun of one person this year a little bit more than me. Just one person.
Why would the high school make fun of you?
Because I'm in there next year. Then it's you see what I'm saying? So then it becomes a little bit different. Gam pa'amim rabos yoda libecha asher gam ata kilal alta acherim, because you know yourself. How many times have you cursed others? How many times have you said something bad? So all of a sudden you're like, "Well, I don't want them to talk about me." Don't be a hypocrite, right? If they're going to do that,
what
that's
about
there.
Somebody doesn't talk about it.
We're going to have to stop right over here. What? We'll stop right here on Pasuk Chav Beis, and that's that. So yeah, of course, there are the exceptions to the rule, right? But even that, it doesn't make a difference, because even so, the Chavetz Chaim is such an anav. He says, "You know what? That person is greater than me. So when he talks about me, he deserves to talk about me." Such an anav maybe will be able to